You're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley, and on today's show, we are going to discuss the football games this weekend. It's getting to the nitty gritty stage of the Allianz Football League, and at the end of the preview, we'll discuss a bit about the Fitzgibbon Cup final at the weekend as well between Mary Eye Limerick and University of Limerick, a Limerick derby there. So it should be a very, very interesting game. And we'll discuss maybe a bit about the Sigerson Cup game that happened last night too. I'm delighted to be joined by Seamus Brady from Mucklea to discuss this weekend's action. And before we get into it, this podcast is sponsored by Capture Athletics. If you want to get the best Gaelic gear around for your club, Capture Athletics are the guys to go to. So, Seamus, another weekend of the Allianz League coming ticking fast as well. And the college competition is coming to an end. So, we're kind of getting into the season where Intercounty is starting to take over a small bit, and the college or the club season is slowly but surely being left behind.
That's it, Matthew. And thanks for having me on again. It's a good time to be a GA fan. Like, the Intercounty season is well and truly up and running. And like 3 weeks in, we're going to really see, you know, how things are shaping up, who is really looking at promotion, who is really looking at relegation. Because 2 games in, I mean, you can point at a lot of different things. But like, say, for example, on the LGFA side, Dublin, it seemed like you started very badly with back-to-back defeats, but those back-to-back defeats were to Kerry and Meath. So probably two of the maybe 3 toughest tests they're going to have in the league. And then they bounce back against Mayo, got the win, and all of a sudden there's a different perspective on the league. It's the same with a lot of teams in the league heading into this weekend. There's a lot of teams coming in on back-to-back defeats or back-to-back wins or things like that. And if they, depending on the result this weekend, the league will look either really promising or really jeopardising. Like, you've got the likes of Kildare, Cork, Meath, Dublin, like Roscommon, who need a win, Galway, who badly need a win. And if, you know, 3 games in, all those sides still don't have a win, it looks really bad. Whereas you've got Mayo, Derry, like Armagh, like that. If they go and win the next game, well, then, you know, they're off to the races. So it's a really, really exciting weekend.
It should be, definitely. And we'll get into the Allianz League action in a bit. We'll discuss the weekend Gaelic games first. And the first story we're going to discuss is actually a match that happened this week. A match that happened last night. Ulster University, 3 goals and 12 points. UCD, 15 points. A brilliant, brilliant win by Ulster University this game. Goals of the first half from Niall Loughlin, from Ben McCarron, and from Oisin McCann in midfield, who was absolutely excellent last night. Definitely tore UCD asunder. But worth mentioning too that Darragh Craig and David Garland scored 14 points out of a possible 15 of UCD's total, which was absolutely outstanding, and both of them deserve a lot of plaudits. But of course, the Canavan brothers stole all the headlines. Obviously, Darragh Canavan scoring 5 points from play. You had Rory Canavan scored 3 points, or I think it was 4 points around that tally, which was absolutely outstanding. And Ulster University definitely deserved their win last night. Seamus, did you watch any of the game and any of the Sigerson Cup? But like, Ulster University worthy champions, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I definitely did pay attention to the competition as it was developing, and then I saw a few snippets from the final. I didn't get to watch the game in its entirety, but I did see a couple of the highlights, and I mean, just a fantastic victory for Ulster University. And like, it definitely you know, they made some brave decisions, like electing to be completely okay without the Derry boys, without Conor Glass and people like that. I mean, a brave decision to be like, now we're good. The Canavan's outstanding performance, as you said, and then that photo of them with Peter the Great at the end is, you know, one of the iconic photos of the year already. To think that they already have more Sigerson Cups than their old man. But it's going to be a bit of banter between them in the family, no doubt about it. But like, that's what the college competitions are all about. It's spotting stars for the future. And like, David Garland and Darragh Craig were outstanding. And like, that's fantastic news for Roscommon and for Monaghan respectively, that like, you know, you've got David Garland there, he's been budding in the Sigerson Cup for years now. Like, I remember him with DCU. I remember him really looking like a tidy forward in the Sigerson Cup. I think this was 2020, just before the pandemic hit. I remember seeing him and being like, this guy's got something about him, because he was in a forward line with the likes of Paddy Small, Sean Bugler, Michal Banigan, and he still stood out as being like probably the most consistent forward out of the lot. And with Monaghan, the breakthrough just hasn't quite come for him yet, but like, over the next few years, I fully believe he'll be getting game time, especially with Kyle Gallagher going to the Australia and Kieran Hughes retiring. Like, there's spots opening up there for him. So he's the one to keep an eye on. Darragh Craig, exactly the same. Like, Cathal Craig, Kieran Murta, players like that stepping away from Roscommon over the last couple of years. Big hammer blows there that they're gone. But look at Darragh Craig, 9 points he scored. Like, an outrageous tally to get in a final of any kind. Like, college competitions are really, really, really tough because, you know, the conditions usually aren't the best and the conditions weren't exactly sunshine again for this game. But it's a fantastic win for Ulster University. And God, like, I mean, Ulster's really on top, isn't it? Apparently All-Ireland, like, everything else. And they've won the college competition. They won all three club championships. They're doing something right up there anyway.
Definitely so. And even the Derry guys missing, like, you know, I take off the top of my head, Conor Glass, Eaton Doherty, I think was mentioned, Owen McAvoy, who was on the panel for Ulster University, didn't play a bit last night. It was a really brave call, but it definitely paid off, and well done to Ulster University on winning the competition. I just wanted to bring up the top scorers on this, as you mentioned, with David Garland being so good for DCU over the last few years. He's top scorer in the Sigerson Cup. Again, he's key to 123 in this competition. Darragh Craig, his teammate, with 23 points. Special mention to Sean O'Connor from Tipperary as well, who is in the top three of the list. A brilliant achievement for anybody in that list. And then from play, Noel Loughlin from Derry. And I think he's going to have a big year. He scored 3 goals and 8 points across the Sigerson Cup for Ulster University. You have Conor Daly from UCC scoring 3 goals and 6 points from the Clonakilty Club in Cork. You also have Rory Kinsella from Meath up there on the list as well, who was really, really good in the competition. And of course, Darragh Craig as well. So congratulations to all that did well in the Sigerson Cup this year. Before we actually leave the Sigerson Cup, I wanted to bring up a clip of Darragh Craig scoring a point last night. I know UCD lost the game eventually, but this was sent in to me by Humbitius on Instagram. If you haven't checked that account out already, this is across my Instagram and Twitter pages. This score, it's actually gone viral a small bit from Darragh Craig. I just wanted to bring this up on the podcast here.
Lovely score.
What a score that was.
Beautiful point. Like, it's one of those where the minute he leaves his boot, you're like, oh, yes, he's got it. Like, cracking score. And a player that, look, even though they were on the wrong side of the results, he walked out with his head held high. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be around for years to come if he wants it. He definitely has the ability, no doubt about it. I mean, that score tells you all you need to know.
Exactly so. And what a player Darragh Craig is going to be in the next few years. And worth noting as well, in the All-Ireland Championship, he scored 2 points against Cork with the last game for Roscommon last year in the Championship. So he definitely has proved himself for Roscommon and UCD and his club Boyle as well. So he's definitely a really, really good player to watch. I just wanted to bring up another clip as well for the week of the GA. And this is called Tiki Taka. I don't know, did anybody see this online? It was DCU in a freshers game this week. It was brilliant to actually play. Intricate play in many ways, but play that you wouldn't expect in a Gaelic football game. Let's have the watch of this, Seamus.
Stay in the game! No five! No five!
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. James, soccer creeping into us.
We need to pass a new motion to Congress now. We need to pass a new rule. No, I'm only messing. But no, God, it was great. Like, I mean, and the thing is as well, it takes bravery there. You know fine well if the keeper had a save that he would have been getting back. Oh, pick the ball up, will you? Like, so fair play to him for having the nerve to, because it was the right decision to, you know, go for it off the ground, especially if you have the soccer skills, as we put it in the GAA, to stick it into the back of the net from there. Like, probably if he had picked it up, he would have been closed down. So, I mean, in hindsight, it's the right decision. And especially like that, where he has a lot of time, a lot of people tend to almost get caught up in the moment a bit and mess it up more so than if they had, you know, a snapshot to take it. So, great finish. And Barcelona 2010 eat your heart out.
Exactly so, and it is in the GA and it's here to stay. Brilliant, brilliant play by the DCU team. Our final story in colleges this week, before we get on to the Fitzgibbon, that'll be after the Allianz League preview, is the UL Camogie team, and I wanted to pay tribute to them. Congratulations to them for winning. And the story behind this is absolutely incredible, and I'm going to bring up an image now of the team. If people don't know, UL were kicked out of the Ashbrook Cup last year because of an error in score lines, and it was really unfair on the UL team. And for them to go on and win it this year was absolutely incredible in its own right. And here is the image here. So in 2023, they were unfairly knocked out. They went to UCD to basically to get answers. They sat on the fence, watched the semi-finals weekend, and they were really, really disappointed at the end of the year. 2024, they are champions. They beat TU Dublin 6-11 to 1-12 last Sunday. A brilliant, brilliant result. And as well as that, two of their main players, and Jennifer Hughes from Galway and Sinead O'Keefe from Kilkenny, were injured for this final weekend. They played UCC at the semi-finals the day before. So it was an absolutely incredible weekend in general for UL Camogie Club. Mairead O'Brien scored two goals in the final, and Eamon McGrath for Tipperary scored two goals as well. So, Seamus, that's how you have a redemption arc.
No doubt about it. It's a brilliant story. It's a fantastic, like, Mairead O'Brien, cracking players like Mairead O'Brien, Alva Larkin, Eamon McGrath. Like, it's a really, really good team that UL had. And last year was just ridiculous, like, the way that they were just eliminated because of something that's completely out of their hands. And, like, it's not. Apologies, don't know what happened there. But it's not the first time. It's not the first time that we've seen this. Yeah, I was just saying, it's not the first time that we've seen issues like that happen in Camogie. I was going to say, remember the coin toss between Clare and Dublin that was proposed 10 years ago or something? Like, ridiculous. Like, and so Camogie is still having to rue out issues like that. And last year was a prime example of just a bit of disrespect towards the players, like that something like that could happen and that they wouldn't immediately move to try and fix it, that they kind of were just like, just carry on. We have a competition to finish. So to come back this year and to, you know, win this, and not even to like snatch the win, like they were the best team in the Ashbourne Cup this year. Like, no doubt about it, they were the best team in it. To win the final the way that they did, so dominantly, like a 17-point victory. I mean, you don't really, like, or sorry, a 14-point victory. You don't really need to, you know, question whether they were the best team. They were the dominant team in the Cup this year. And some cracking players there that are going to be around for years to come. Eamon McGrath's already probably one of Tipperary's best forwards. Cot Devan alongside her. And Mairead O'Brien is fantastic, not just at the Camogie but at the football as well, and they have leaders in the team like Al Larkin. Like, it was a really good collection of players who went on an incredible journey together, and it's finished up in silverware, so I'm delighted for them.
Absolutely thrilled for them, and congratulations to UL again, and a brilliant result for them. And before we actually leave this game, I have to mention Roisin McCormack from TU Dublin as well. Out of the 1-12 in that final, Roisin scored 1-11. And her goal, if you haven't seen it on Electric Ireland YouTube, watch it again. It's absolutely outstanding, I have to say. I'm not going to bring it up in this podcast just because of copyright and stuff like that, but I would recommend that you all watch that video of Roisin McCormack's goal. Before we get into the Allianz League action, just a quick discussion on improving hurling. Obviously, Peter Fortune from Loud and Joe Fortune, the Westmead manager, were on the League Sunday panel last week discussing how hurling needs to be improved. And I'm sure you watched this segment, Seamus, like myself, like Aaron did as well. What I will say, I was disappointed that it was only 20 minutes. And I was disappointed that Liam Sheedy and Ursula Jacob actually got really more speaking time than the two lads, which was kind of a disrespect as well when they're from Wexford and Tipperary. I know they want to state their opinions, but they're from Tipperary and Wexford. They don't know the seriousness of the issues in Loud and Westmead and Cavan and all them hurling counties. And even the interviewing off the ball over the weekend with Joe Baldwin, the Fermanagh manager. Class. Absolute class. And it just shows his dedication to hurling as well. So what do you think of the whole thing, Seamus? Did you actually enjoy this segment? And do you agree with me? Do you think it was too short?
Yeah, I do. I completely agree with you. I've watched it twice. And like, I was just disappointed with it, to be honest. I really I watched it the first time, like, pen and paper, like I was following along with it, and I wanted to hear ideas. I wanted to hear, like, genuine concrete plans of, this would be great, this would be great, we could do this. I felt like they were just complaining for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. They were just pointing out everything that's wrong without really... They were kind of just being like, hurling's so important. Hurling's clinging on in these counties. We deserve more of this. We deserve more coaching. We need a guy. They kept saying, we need someone with a plan. We need someone with a plan. We need someone with a plan. Okay, well, what should be in that plan? Like, come on. Like, if you're the experts, give us an idea of what should be in that plan. Because they kind of just didn't really say what should be in the plan. They just pointed out that there isn't one. And I'm like, come on, like, because me and you did the episode on Clihe, like, where we did, like, you know, five or six things, how the GAA should improve in 2023, was it? 2023.
Yeah. This time last year,
we did the episode. I'm not even just saying, but I'm saying, like, me and you still listed out, like, solutions that we had. We highlighted problems that we had, but then we also said, this is what I would do to solve that problem. So we both said that we had issues with the clock, and then we said, this is the solution that I'd go with. Both said we had issues with player crossover, this is how I would handle it. I didn't like how they kind of just pointed out issues and then didn't really come up with any solutions for them. They thrown a lot of, like, we need a task force, we need, like, plan, we need someone with a plan. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the first thing you want them to tackle? And how do you want them to tackle it? Do you have any ideas to help them? Do you get what I mean? Like, did you find out when you were watching it, did you find that they were making, like, that they were pointing out solutions, or that they were just pointing out problems?
Oh, problems, definitely. And they weren't putting solutions on the table. They were just talking about how hurling is important to an area, which is true. The stuff with Joe Baldwin was absolutely classing off the ball at the weekend. But, like, and for example as well, I think with this segment, RTE are being a tad hypocritical at times as well, because if you're going to provide that segment, provide highlights of Fermanagh against Leitrim in the evening as well. Yeah. Or provide highlights of Cavan's hurling game or whatever. If you don't provide that, the discussion's really meaningless. If you don't do something about that yourselves, what's the point, you know?
Well, that's it. Like, I'll just point out the irony. Peter Fortune was in there as a Louth captain. When's the last time Louth hurling's been shown by RTE?
Only Joe McDonald or Laurie Marr finals, I'd imagine.
Yeah, like, again, what, a 2-minute report?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying that, like, to have it as a 20-minute conversation where each person got to speak, I'd say, twice. And they just pointed out what they were frustrated about the game. It was like a little vent. It was like a little group meeting where they were like, ah, oh, this kind of sucks, doesn't it? Okay, well, that's out of our system, and we'll get on with the rest of the year. Like, they didn't really... I didn't come away from watching that thinking, yeah, I would know what... I've really learned something from that discussion. You know what I mean? Or I've really got some ideas after that discussion. And I was really hoping that they would. And it's not that I don't, honestly, honest to God, I do not point the finger at anyone involved there. Joanne's a fantastic presenter. Liam Sheedy, Ursula Jacob are, like, awesome pundits. Joe Fortune's an absolute gentleman and a fantastic hurling manager with Westmead. And Peter Fortune, for his first time on League Sunday, spoke really, really well. And is a great hurler with Louth, and seems to be a really good captain there as well. I just think they were given far too little time. Like, that needs to be... Why isn't that... Like, me and you are doing this on YouTube. Why aren't RTE Sport doing, like, an episode on YouTube where they go, how to fix hurling? And you can make it 2.5 hours if you want. Mm. You can make it as long as you want, and you can have the live comments coming in from fans who can point out issues and let the best minds in the game come up with ideas to fix them. Because, like, they did point out a couple of good ideas. Making a festival of hurling around the Laurie Marr, Christy Ring, Nicky Rackard finals. That's a great idea. But they didn't get to go into it. Do you know what I mean? If me and you talk about it here, we can talk about how you go into that. Well, you could have music being played. You could have acts performing. You could have, do you know what I mean, entertainment included in that day. You could have, like, the family fun zones outside, like we used to have at Croke Park years ago. Things like that, like challenges and everything. You could have that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to go into it because they only had 20 minutes. So it was like Festival of Hurling. Oh, that's a great idea. But Ursula Jacob hasn't spoke yet. So we need to go to her now. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were under real time pressure. And I feel like if they weren't, they would have been, like, much more able to have a really good debate about it. All the individuals involved are class at what they do. But they just didn't have enough time.
And that's the argument as well. And I said this to Arnold as well, that why couldn't they do this at the RTGA podcast during the week?
Yeah, I agree.
And the thing is as well, remember that programme presented by Marty Morrissey, Championship Matters? Why did that go off the air? That would have been ideal to, you know, have a programme dedicated to improving hurling. Not a 20-minute segment. Like, that was way too little time. Way too little for Peter Fortune to stay. And the frustrating thing is, Peter Fortune probably had more to say. And he just didn't say it. It was just frustrating in many ways.
Well, it's just like, because, again, I come back to it is, like, what did they think they were going to get out of 20 minutes? What was the goal? Like, if the goal is to highlight attention, correct, well, then we need to have, as they said, a structured plan with people, certain people in place and a task force and a director of hurling. And I would love to see Liam Sheedy involved as one of the directors of hurling. I mean, Liam Sheedy knows hurling inside out. You've got people like Anthony Daly who are so charismatic. Step one, the Go Games. Absolutely awesome thing that Croke Park does. Brendan Quinn did an interview off the ball with him. Balls.ie did an interview with Brendan Quinn. And he was talking about it needs to be introduced in schools. Like that PE for schools. They play hurling and they play football. That the government can help there. Especially in the weaker counties. That's a brilliant idea. Like, putting more energy, more tournaments, more failures, more blitzes, more things like that that get people drawn to playing hurling, playing football in the schools, in colleges, like that. You make it more of a social event. People, you know, come in the smaller counties because they need that. Dublin needs that as well. Dublin needs more lure to the hurling because too many players are picking the football instead. It's like there is that thing that hurling in these counties, if it's left the way that it is now, we will see counties drop out, like, very quickly from hurling. Like, we will see the five counties that were proposed to be cut. Like, if the volunteers and the Fermanagh manager who had a stroke and still turned up. I mean, that passion, you cannot buy that passion. You cannot buy that love for what he does, and you cannot buy that love for the game. That passion is absolutely special, and the GAA should do everything they can to nurture that passion to make hurling grow in those counties. Because as Donal Logue put on RT, the more teams that compete, the better. The more teams that are competing, the better. And the more that the Joe McDonagh teams are able to come up and not just barely survive in the Liam McCarthy, but challenge the teams that are in the Liam McCarthy, the better our games will be. There's no question about it. So the task force, while that is a great idea, they didn't get time to flesh out on it enough. We need the task force of people that know hurling and know how to develop the games by A, putting them in schools. So PE, like, I'd advocate for that, that, you know, they learn it in school as part of their PE curriculum. They learn how to play hurling, camogie. They learn how to play Gaelic football because it's our national sports. The next thing, that festival around the Laurie Marr, Nicky Rackard, Christy Ring finals. Absolutely, 100% more effort around making that an event to pin on the calendar if you're a person from those counties to get to those finals. Or if you're just someone who loves hurling, Like, oh, you want to see a good hurling final now, a Christy Ring final. That's on in July, whatever date. That would be something to get to. There's multiple other ideas. And the thing is me and you could talk for an hour and a half about this. But like, as I said, going back to that debate, I was slightly disappointed with it. Not with any of the people involved. I was disappointed with the time that it was given, because the lack of time really put a squeeze on Joanne to keep it moving as quick as possible. That it almost felt like someone was onto a good point, but they had to be cut off. You don't have enough time for them to go on a ramble.
Yeah, definitely so. And I'm sure we will revisit this later on down the summer 100%. As well. But that's the thing. I know we talk about RT running all the time. We're kind of running all the time. We're 25 minutes gone and we haven't even talked about games. So we get into the Allianz Football League action now, and we will obviously discuss hurling in the weeks to come. Starting off at Division 1, it is a game at Croke Park, Dublin against Roscommon, TG Carr, 5 p.m. Dublin need to win this, Seamus. If they don't, I think they're in a spot of bother.
Oh, yeah. Dublin need to win this game. If we don't, I would be very, very concerned about relegation. Like, it's a Roscommon side that are coming to Croke Park without Donny Smith. Donny Smith is suspended, I'm guessing, after the after hitting Paul Conroy a box against Galway. It's also a Roscommon side that, like, you'd wonder, you know, how they're going to cope. Like, Darragh Craig is absolutely on fire, so you have to keep an eye out for him if he comes straight back into the team. Ben O'Carroll's back. Like, it's one thing to definitely keep an eye on them. Dublin fans need to be careful, because a lot of Dublin people would be saying, oh, Roscommon at home, or Roscommon in Croke Park, like, we'll win that game. We didn't last year. Like, do you know what I mean? We didn't beat them last year in Croke Park, and we didn't beat them in the championship in Croke Park last year. And that mentality was definitely there for the Monaghan game. I was convinced we were going to beat Monaghan in Croke Park. I didn't see a way that we left that game without the win. I was like, it's a Monaghan team without Rory Began, without Conor McManus, without Al Gallagher, without Kieran Hughes, without Darren Hughes. How are we possibly going to lose this game? And we did. So to act like we can't lose to Roscommon is very naive. Of course we can lose this game. But I think what's different is the Monaghan game was an opener. And maybe you were a bit cold. And Desi Farrell pretty much came out and said, we know we're behind the curve of a few teams. Okay. Again, I don't particularly agree that you should be behind the curve, because the All-Ireland final was in July. So why are you off the pace when the championship or when the league starts at the end of January? However, if you're still off the pace by match day 3, then I'd be questioning, like, how are you off the pace? You either don't care about the league or there's something wrong with the training if you're still off the pace by match day 3. So Dublin have to at least put in the performance that we know that they're capable of in this game to get the victory. I do think Dublin will win, because I think it's non-optional now. Dublin need to win this game. And even if we win this game, I still wouldn't be 100% confident saying that we'll avoid relegation. Like, I still think we need another 2 wins to ensure our safety.
It is a huge game for Dublin, no doubt about it. Do you think it's a huge game for Roscommon, though, as well? They're on 1 point after 2 games. If they lose this, like Dublin, they could be screwed as well.
Absolutely. Like, every... You see, the reality is, as I was saying to you at the start of the episode, if you're a team that's, you know, began your league campaign with back-to-back games where you didn't get a win in either of them, if the third game falls and you still haven't got a win, like, all of a sudden then, all 4 of your final games are cup finals to keep you up. And like, as Denise said there, both sides need a win. Both sides need a win. So, like, they're going to be throwing everything they have at it. Roscommon will see this as the game that they can maybe snatch and grab. And the fact that Monaghan won will give them hope, because Roscommon will be thinking, well, if Monaghan could do it, why can't we do it? So they're going to give it everything that they have. They have informed forwards. For the likes of Ben O'Carroll and Brian Stack, like, they were in Croke Park only a few weeks ago, so they'll be crucial to helping out the team as well. I will say Dublin will win this game, though. I'm saying Dublin by about 3 or 4 points. I think Dublin will win this game because we need to. And for us, Common, like it's not the easiest fixture that they have coming up. I think they'll probably focus more on games where they have teams at the hide. They can make it difficult for them. They can pick up a couple of points. They will target this game as one that they can win, but I think Dublin will probably take it.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the same. I think Dublin will take the win as well. And just because it's in Croke Park, Dublin will be desperate for a victory in this. And I think they'll get enough to get it over the line in this one. Derry against Monaghan in Division 1. It's not streamed anywhere, which is a bit of a shame. It's on Saturday at 5 p.m. in Celtic Park. Like Derry, 2 wins on the board already. Monaghan won one, lost one, lost the game against Kerry quite handsomely. But to be fair, like Kerry are coming back into it and they are a serious team. So we'll kind of let that one slide. But it's still a difficult one, this one for Monaghan. And you'd have to feel, if Derry go on to win this, a league final is quite a possibility.
Yeah, they've come absolutely flying out of the traps. I mean, Conor Glass, Ethan Doherty, Kieran McFall, all straight back in for the opening round of the league against Kerry. I mean, it made their intentions evidently clear that they were going for this league right off the bat. I mean, Mickey Hart is a guy that means business. There's no question about it. Like he there's no doubt he was hurt by the way that finished with Tyrone. There's no doubt about it that like that sense, because this is what a lot of people were saying at the time, was there was a real vibe that like Mickey's not the man to bring Tyrone to that All-Ireland title now. He's taken them as far as he can take them. And the year after he left, what happened? He won the All-Ireland title. And that would have really hurt him, that a lot of people would have been saying, oh, like, Tyrone won the All-Ireland. Knew that they had the ability to do that. So Mickey coming in with Derry, he proved with Loud that he can do it with a group of players that aren't in Division 1 and things like that, that he can work his magic with a team that at the time were in Division 4. And he's carried that success right on to Louth, who have carried on that success without him. They proved it in the Armagh game and in the Cork game that, you know, they're still a serious team in Division 2 this year. It's like this with Mickey. I think he's going to want to prove that he's a winner again. And winning the Allianz League is a great start. Like, on the books, it's a great start. And they'll be confident that they can go from winning the league into winning the championship, because they went hell for leather for the league last year and it didn't slow them down when they got to the championship. They were a hair's breadth away from beating Kerry in that All-Ireland semi-final. If McInnes' shot went in past Shane Ryan, that's game over. Derry win that and they're into the All-Ireland final. So Mickey will want to win the league. Make no mistake about it. And I think Derry will win this game. I think they'll beat Monaghan because they're not going to mess about. And they did, you know, beat Tyrone fairly comfortably in a game where I expected it to be a war. They beat Kerry away from home. I'd be confident in saying they'll make a 3 from 3.
And the thing is, what the scary thing is about Derry in terms of Ulster Championships, they still have Ben McCarron to add to the fray. Niall Loughlin, Cormac Murphy was absolutely outstanding in the last game against Tyrone. So, like, the squad is building. And that's the thing with Mickey Hart. I'd say that was one of the main aims that he wanted to do with this Derry team, to build a squad, to build a bench. And when you look at the players at his disposal now, even with the retirement of Benny Herron, it's still looking strong.
That's it. And like players that you haven't even mentioned there, like Lachlan Murray and Niall Toner, and like a lot of these lads that can not just like do a job in the forward line, but they're great utility players as well. They can, you know, they can drop deep. Niall Toner started all the games last year in midfield for Derry, like alongside Conor Glass. You got Emmett Bradley back in the panel. Like, that's a massive boost. Like, they're really well set up for a crack at the All-Ireland. And I think Mickey Hart coming in, to me, is proof that they're trying to cash out and get this All-Ireland now. It's like they think that they're locked in. Okay, we have these lads. We have as good a team as we've had in years. Let's make it count. Let's go win that All-Ireland. Who can take us over the line? Who's the man that's taken an Ulster team over the line for the first ever All-Ireland title? Mickey Hart. And I know that Derry won one in 1993. That's a long time ago. And none of these players, probably none of these players were alive the last time Derry won the All-Ireland title, which is crazy to think. But that is the truth of it. And Mickey Hart will know fine well, like, we have to make this count. Bringing in Mickey Hart, I don't think bringing in Mickey Hart is a move for the future. I think Mickey will either win the All-Ireland with Derry in the next 3 years, but I don't think he's going to be the manager of Derry in 5 years' time. I think the idea is to bring him in, win an All-Ireland, make a count, and then they'll bring in someone who can, you know, kick the team on for another few years. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with it. That's why I thought they brought Mickey Hart in the first place. They wouldn't bring Mickey Hart in if they didn't think there was an All-Ireland in this team.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way. So I think they're well on course for the All-Ireland when you think about it. But there are other teams to catch them. But even when you look at them, the likes of Cormac Murphy performing, even in the Sigurdsson Cup, Ben McCarron scored a goal this week. Niall Loughlin's the top scorer for playing the Sigurdsson Cup. And he's probably stagnated a bit with Derry, it's fair to say, over the last couple of seasons. He's ready to fire now. Shane McGuigan, top scorer of the championship last season. And the midfield pairing of Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers. And then to add to the phrase, you mentioned there with Emmett Bradley. This is a scary team. It's a scary team, and it's a scary prospect for all of Ulster, I have to say. Even with the hard side of the draw, you still have Donegal, Monaghan, Tyrone, Cavan on that side of the draw, I have to mention as well. They are a good side as well. But Derry's seen so far ahead of the curve at the moment, and they look really, really good. And I think they will win this game as a matter of interest against Monaghan. Speaking of All-Ireland favourites, we have another one here. Kerry against Mayo, and I'm not talking about the side that has not won the All-Ireland since 1951 here, for context. It's on Saturday at 7:30 on RT2 in 3D. Yeah.
The two burns, from picking them last year. Two burns. They let you down too much last year.
Had to say that now. Had to say it. Just to explain the point, Mayo, not to dig a Gino, but Kerry against Mayo, interesting game, but the last game in Kerry between these two sides, Mayo won it, so you never know.
Mayo won the last two games between these sides, so the league game and the championship game in the group stage. Mayo have started really well as well, back-to-back wins, and Kerry, even though that they won against Monaghan, like the sudden departure of Micheál Burns from the panel, like, you would wonder, like, what's going on there? Why did he walk away? Because you got players like Jack Barry that stepped away from the panel, and he's like one of their most important operators over the last few years. It reminds me, Micheál Byrne stepping away reminds me a lot of when Eric Lowndes left the Dublin team in 2021. Because I remember the headline grabbers, like Mannion left, McCaffrey left, Cluxton walked away, and everyone was like, oh my God, there's so many players left. And then randomly out of the blue, like literally during the league, Eric Lowndes stepped away. And I remember Eric Lowndes was always like a really solid player for Dublin, like a really good player that could do a job in defence, midfield or attack. Anywhere you needed him, Eric was a good man for it. And he just very quietly walked away. I remember being like, what's going on? Why has Eric stepped away as well? And that whole year culminated in like, like ridiculous scenes at the end of the Mayo game where the Dublin players were, you know, throwing their toys out of the pram essentially, and Mayo beat us in Croke Park and put an end to the unbeaten run. Micheál Byrne stepping away from Kerry kind of reminds me, because it's so out of nowhere that you just think, what's going on there? Why did he step away? Maybe it's for personal reasons, we don't know, but it was a weird one. Going into this game, all eyes will be on Kerry. They have home advantage. It's in Austin Stack Park. You know, the crowds on Saturday night in Kerry are always fantastic. It's going to be a great game because, you know, Mayo will bring it. Mayo never do anything the straightforward way. So, you know, they're going to have a 10-minute helter-skelter where it feels like they can take on the world, and then they'll have a 10-minute helter-skelter where it feels like the world is crumbling around them. They're the two guarantees you'll always get with Mayo. 10 minutes where they're on top of the world and 10 minutes where the world is falling apart. So this game will be a cracker. Kerry will bring it as well. It will be interesting to see if the Cliffords start, because they came on fairly quick against Monaghan and looked really sharp. And I think this is a game that, as much as Jack O'Connor said last year, that he, you know, doesn't really care that much about the league, he'll want to win this one. So I think Kerry, for me, will probably take this one narrowly by a point, two, if I had to be pushed. I wouldn't be surprised if Mayo would win it, because it is the type of game that they would win. As in, it's not as it is the most important game of the year. But I don't mean to sound horrible saying that. But Mayo have a habit down through the years of showing their cards too early. I wonder, will that affect their mentality going into this game? But I will pick Kerry to win it.
Yeah, that's the way with Mayo, really. They do have good players and they have started the league well. But Kerry, like you mentioned, Micheál Burns, it could be a detrimental effect. I actually disagree with you. I just think the way Kerry are playing at the moment, they look on fire. Like, when you have Sean O'Shea at full forward, when you have the Cliffords operating off them, and we discussed, I think it dipped in match week one before the matches then, about Sean O'Shea in the full forward line, David Clifford at number 13, and then who's going to give that supply ball? There's one guy, Paddy Clifford. And that is incredibly dangerous for the rest of the country. And even in midfield, I think they're settling now with Joe O'Connor and Dermot O'Connor in there as well. Micheál Burns, personally, I just think it's not necessarily a Dublin issue. I think it's more of a Tyrone issue with Lee Brennan and Rory, Mark Bradley stepping away from the panel because they didn't get enough game time. Paul Donaghy as well. And I just think Micheál Burns maybe got frustrated because of it. So I don't think it's the end of the world for Kerry. He's been a brilliant player for Dr. Crokes, but he hasn't stepped up to the level of the likes of the Cliffords, the O'Shea's, the Dara Minans of this world. He hasn't. Simple as that. I just think Kerry, still without Micheál Burns, look a serious prospect.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. Like, there's an All-Ireland again in this Kerry team. No question about it. Like, if they get it right this year. It'll be interesting to see how Jack O'Connor's mindset is with this. That's a very good comment by Denise as well. James Carr, like, I mean, I'd love if he played in this game because he's pretty box office. Like, especially if he scores a goal, you always know it's going in one of the two top corners. No matter where he is in the pitch, he's going into one of the top two corners. But yeah, with Kerry, like, the fact that the Cliffords are back in, I'll be fascinated to see if Shawnee goes into full forward again. Because I doubt that they would have put him in there if they weren't going to think about using it throughout the year. But then how David Clifford will play with him in the full forward line. Paddy, like, the quality of ball that goes into the two of them. Because if the two of them click in the full forward line and they start playing really well together, like, I mean, wrap up the All-Ireland and send it to them. Like, because, I mean, it's two of the best forwards in the country. Like, it's definitely two of the top four forwards in the country. And if the two of them click inside with each other, that's going to be a nightmare for any defence to cope with.
It definitely is, yeah. And with Paddy Clifford putting in the ball as well and the midfield excelling, I think Kerry look a serious prospect this season and they probably will win this game at the weekend. The final game of Division 1, it is Tyrone against Galway in Healy Park live with TG Carr at 1:45 on Sunday. Crucial game really for both sides in many ways. Tyrone struggled against Derry largely in the last game, probably went out of that game without a whimper really. Galway, as you mentioned with Roscommon and Dublin, haven't got a win yet. They need to win this one, but this will be a tricky assignment going up to Omagh for the tribesmen.
Oh, very tricky. This one is, again, loser is skating on very, very thin ice. Like, whoever loses this game is dancing very close to the fire. Because if Galway lose this game, they're winless in three games with only a draw against Roscommon to show. And then you look at it, they still have to face Dublin, Kerry. Like, you start to think, well, where are these wins coming from to save yourselves? You still have to face Derry, Kerry and Dublin. I wouldn't be back in, you know, winning those three games. And then I think the other one has slipped my mind. Monaghan. Yeah, and Monaghan, we know that they pick up towards the end of the league. So, like, none of those games are going to be easy at all. So, Galway need to start winning games. And it's the same thing with Tyrone. Tyrone have home advantage for this, do they?
Yeah.
So, that's massive. Like, that's absolutely huge. If Tyrone beat Galway, they're one win away then, what, from what I would consider to be safety. And that will energise them to kick on and get a win against maybe a Monaghan or get a win against a Mayo or someone that they've beaten in the past in the league. And if they get that win, then they're pretty much over the line, safe and sound. Galway then are tantalisingly close to the drop after that. So this is a massive game for both of these teams. And Galway don't look in good shape at all coming into it. Peter Cook, gone. Who else? No Killian McDade for the rest of the league. Shane Walsh wasn't playing against Roscommon. Like, they look like they're running on fumes. And going into this game against Tyrone, who are carrying a fresh new wave of talent in, like people like Ben Cullen, Cahill Daly, like they are Shawnee O'Donnell, like they're putting a lot of new lads into the team. They'll relish this game. It's a fantastic chance to get a win and to stay up in Division One. And the more I talk about it, the more I actually fancy Tyrone to win it.
Okay. You're going for Tyrone now?
I'll go for Tyrone, yeah. Because I think more so, I think Galway are not a great spot to be right now.
It's an interesting point. Like, I've backed Galway in the last two games. I've always wanted them to come good because they're such a brilliant football team with brilliant players. Third time lucky, maybe. I'm going to go Galway again. I just feel Galway have to win this. As you mentioned with the fixtures there, not only the top three teams in the country, undoubtedly. You've Monaghan, a team that always stay up at the final hurdle. So this is not going to be easy for Galway if they lose this game. And I think that will be enough to get them over the line. But just before we move on to Division 2, just a bit of a caveat on Tyrone. The amount of players involved in Ulster University, as we mentioned at the start of the podcast, Kieran Daly, Dara Canavan, Rory Canavan, Conor Cush, could that play a effect?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a very good point. But, I mean, you could put it this way, that, like, it's better than a training session, like, and they'll slot right back into the Tyrone team and be ready to go. I don't think Brian Duher will rest them for this game. I think Duher will be acutely aware as well of where they need to butter their bread. Like, where they need, like, what games they need to win. I think they would have highlighted the Roscommon game and said, we need to win this one. I think they would have highlighted Galway one, especially when they saw Galway lose to Mayo the way that they did in round one. I think they would have said, right, we need to win that one as well. Because Tyrone still have to face Kerry. Tyrone still have to face Mayo. They still have to face Dublin. Their run-in is not easy either. So, like, they have to, both teams have to win this game. And I'd be confident enough to say, whoever loses this game, I wouldn't be too optimistic about the rest of the league.
I'd be the same, actually. I think whoever loses is done. Look, even thinking about the fixture lists and the significance of the game, I think whoever loses this is done. I'm going to go for Galway to win this game, but narrowly. And this is the last time I'm back, you know, Galway, so you better win this game. And move on to Division 2.
We saw how much you're holding it against Mayo.
Exactly, that's the war in Galway. You have to win this weekend. And moving on to Division 2, and it is Donegal against Fermanagh in Ballybofey at 2 p.m. live on the BBC iPlayer or GA Go if you're in the Republic of Ireland. Interesting game considering, like, at the start of the league, we would have thought this game would be a write-off. Donegal would have walked home in this. Fermanagh, though, 3 points out of the possible four, a draw against Meath, beat Kildare, Sean Cassidy in the form of his life, top scorer for play across all four divisions. You have brilliant players across the pitch. Josh Largo-Wellis getting Ulster University over the line as well, was part of that team brilliantly over the weekend. You have some good players playing for Fermanagh, Alton Kelm as well. They're in good form. Could be a tricky one for Donegal.
Could be. But the only caveat to it is that Fermanagh have got those 3 out of 4 points against two teams that are in a mess. In Kildare and Meath. Like, Meath, less so. They kind of tend to go up and down, but Kildare are all over the place. I'd be very interested to see the bite back from Kildare this weekend now. Like, I mean, it's really time to stand up and show that you have a bit of fight about you this weekend, Kildare. I think Donegal will win this game. I don't think Jim McGuinness will want to give up any ground to a competitor in Ulster. I don't think he wants to lose a coin toss. He's that competitive. But, like, to lose to Fermanagh in the league, I don't think Jim will want to do that at all. I think he'll want to keep the perfect record intact. I think themselves and Armagh were highlighted by everybody as being the obvious two that would go straight back up to Division 1 after being relegated last year. Armagh and Donegal have both started off with 2 wins out of 2. I think Donegal won't want to be the first one to drop. Armagh face Kildare. Like, Armagh will be confident that they'll make it 3 from 3. Donegal need to be there with them. And I think Donegal will win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Donegal as well. But Fermanagh, I think, would test them all the way. They're sticky old.
Oh, Fermanagh have been brilliant. Fermanagh have had a great start. Kieran Donnelly, exceptional coach. And they've lost players like Sean Glee and, you know, huge operators for them over the last few years. Alton Kelm's been magnificent. Sean Cassidy's been brilliant. Like, they've really, really, really started their league campaign fantastically. And I do think that they will give a good account of themselves, just like Cavan did. But I still think, just like the Cavan game, Donegal will find a way to get over the line.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Donegal will win that game, but Fermanagh will put it up to them. And moving on to the next game, I was actually going to move on to Cork and Cavan, but now that you mentioned Kildare and Armagh in the same sentence, I have to mention this game. It's live on TG Car, obviously, from Netwatch Cullen Park at 3:45 on Sunday. Huge game for Kildare. For Armagh, it's an opportunity to get 3 wins on the bounce, as you mentioned there, and to go steaming ahead for promotion back to Division 1. For Kildare, though, Glenn Ryan's team, this is the chance to prove you care, lads.
Yeah, no, this is massive for Kildare. It's because they haven't been getting criticised, I would say, as much ever as they're getting criticised now. Like, everybody, if it really felt like after the Cavan game and after the Fermanagh game, it really felt like people had just had enough. Like, it's so annoying. It actually is genuinely frustrating to see, like, star after star after star after prospect after prospect after prospect emerge with Kildare. And then you're like, where are they all going? Like, where are these lads going? Why have they not been able to convert them into a team that is challenging at the top table? And, like, Jer put it perfectly on my podcast. Like, Kildare went from being a team that were very unlucky to get relegated from Division 1 to being very lucky to stay up in Division 2 last year. So, like, what the hell happened? Like, how did you lose all that momentum? And this year, they started off so poorly. So poorly. And, like the game against Fermanagh, they seemed to lose their way at the end. Like, Kevin Feely getting the black card, you know, for mouthing at the referee. Like, it just, that's pure frustration. That's a game that Kildare would have felt very confident that they would have won. And to, I've been there as a player, like, a game where you feel like you're going to win and then it starts getting away from you. And deep down, you know, it was kind of fully in your hands that you let that slip. It's really frustrating, and that's what I kind of took from that. I really took, like, Kildare were not expecting to be in this position after 2 games. Back-to-back defeats to the 2 teams that were promoted. And to be honest, I see no way that they win this game. Because,
yeah,
like, realistically, wouldn't it be so Kildare to lose the first 2 games to the 2 sides that got promoted from Division 3 and then beat Armagh in Round 3? Like, so I actually am wary of writing them off, but I do think Armagh will win. But as you said, it's the perfect chance for Kildare to make a statement. We're not going down without a fight at the very least. Don't go into the Tailteann Cup a whimper.
Exactly. I'm going to back Armagh to win this game as well. Conor Turbitt's in brilliant form at the moment. I don't know, is Rian O'Neill going to be back for this game? But that Keane McConville seems to be starting into the team with. So I'm going to go for Armagh to go on and win this game. But Kildare, this is the opportunity to show you have to fight. You have to fight to stay up in this division. We'll move on to another game, which is quite interesting. Actually, Meath against Louth on Sunday at 2 p.m. on TG Car Player and app. So good work again by TG Car. On a Park Tailteann, a lot of people actually fancying Louth for this one. I don't know about you, Seamus. I'm going to go for a draw here.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one to call. Like, extremely difficult. And I mean, I remember seeing that Aaron had predicted Meath to go down, didn't he, from Division 2?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I really didn't think Meath were going to go down. But if Meath lose this game, I come in. Like, if Meath and Kildare lose this weekend, it's not looking great for either of them, is it? Like, then like we have the Cork game as well. Imagine if Cork, Meath and Kildare all lose this weekend and you've got the three of them catapulting towards, you know, the Tailteann Cup. I know Meath are safe and they're in the All-Ireland Championship, but imagine Cork and Kildare being in the Tailteann Cup would be absolutely crazy with the resources and the players that they have. This is a very, very tricky one. For Meath, they do need a win. There's no question about it. A lot of people were saying, you know, oh, should have won the Tailteann Cup, they're into the All-Ireland Championship, like everything like that. But you cannot let losing seep into your being. You cannot let losing seep into your team's mentality that, like, you go out, oh, lose, oh, it doesn't matter. That affects you when a championship comes around. And if you get relegated to Division 3 and then go in and get annihilated in the championship, that's been one giant waste of time. The only point in getting into the championship is to then use that as a springboard, as a platform to power yourselves on to higher divisions and consistent All-Ireland Championship football. There's no point going in for 1 year and being like, oh, isn't this amazing? It's like Blackpool over in English football. Got 1 year in the Premiership, went straight down. And now what, they're in like League One or League Two or something. And those days seem such a distant memory. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Meath, but like, they need to make this count, the fact that they're in the All-Ireland Championship. They need to be ready for it and they need to be on form. And the way to be on form is not to lose most of their games in the league and get relegated. That'd be the worst way to prepare for the championship possible. But you are right. Loud mean business. I went away to Armagh, nearly beat them, and then they beat Cork at home. Like, it's really tricky. It's like one game that I do think if Meath play to the best of their ability, I think Meath should win. But you know, it's like basically, if Meath, I'll give you a good example. Louth are like a solid 7 out of 10. Meath's ability is like an 8 out of 10. But sometimes they only show up a 5 out of 10. And Louth always bring it. They always turn up 7 out of 10. Like, they always turn up, you know, and give it their all. So, like, yeah. I think if you play this game 10 times, I think Loud win it more times than Meath. But it's just what question, like, what Meath team turns up on this one given day?
Yeah.
That's why it's so hard to call. I think the safer bet, I'll go a draw.
Yeah, I would as well. I definitely would. I just think there's more of this Meath team than people lead on. And as a matter of interest as well, the game they lost to was Armagh. And Armagh are hitting back to Division 1. So, look, they performed poorly against Fermanagh. They still got a draw out of it. I still think there's biting Meath. I just think there's a bite to get a draw in this game. So I'm going to go for a draw as well. You mentioned if Meath, Kildare and Cork all lose. Spoiler alert on my predictions, Seamus. I think out of 6 possible points there, I think 1 point. And that's me drawing to load. I think Cork are losing this weekend. Thoughts?
Oh, because it is tricky because Cavan have started really well. Like, the victory against Kildare in round 1 was very impressive. And then they went down fighting against Donegal too. No, I have a bit more faith. I'm going to go with Cork. Oh, I don't know. Depends what team they pick. Because as we said, Cork seemed to have gone with a one-size-fits-all. It's like when they're already underdog and they picked a team full of scrappers and like lads that are, you know, good athletes and, you know, it's a good team to, you know, battle and, you know, kick crucial scores at crucial times and beat Mayo and beat Roscommon. Apologies for that. But then on a game where, you know, you are the favourites, you cannot pick the same starting 15 and play the same way when your opponents are happy to sit back and be like, well, you're the favourites, come get us. And that's why they struggled so much against Loud. That's why they struggled
a lot when Donegal went for them in a way that most favourites don't, when Donegal pushed right up on them, like, and did their kind of gegenpressing style stuff. It's going to be difficult for Cork in this one. I don't want to be boring and say another draw. I think Cork, I do agree with you. I think Cavan will nick it. I think Cavan will win by a point or two.
Yeah, I actually will go bigger. I think Cavan will win by three or four here. There's not positive vibes around Cork at the moment. It's well documented. Spoke on our channel about it. Spoke it in John's channel at the start of the week, the JMAC podcast. Check that out if you haven't already at the start of the week as well. Actually, Kevin McCormick from Down was pretty surprised at my comments about it. So was Johnny Murta. And frankly, I'm just not positive about this game. I think Cavan could steamroll us in many ways. I don't think they'll go on and win this game. Even though the likes of Conor Moyna, Gerald McKiernan, Paddy Lynch is starting off like a train. Ray McGallaghan, what a job he's doing at the start. Kieran Brady's carried his club farm into this. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Cavan to win this game. I know it's a Parky Heath, but I think Cork will end up losing this game too. So 0 points on the board for Cork, that I'm predicting after three games. Not a good stage at the moment. We'll move on to Division 3 and two games we'll discuss in detail. The first game is obviously Antrim against Down, Ulster rivalry. Both these sides have two wins on the board. Both sides have started off well. This should be an intriguing battle.
Yeah, it should be a good game. There you go. This one I'm looking forward to. Andy McEntee clearly came into this season with a lot to prove. Andrew made a good start beating Limerick, beating Offaly. They're two games that a lot of people casually probably would have picked them to lose. This game though, I do think that they will lose. Antrim are on a one-way ticket out of Division 3. They're not here for much longer. They're not a Division 3 team. Sorry, down on a one-way ticket out of Division 3. They're not here for much longer. Oran Murdoch is on fire. They have the Johnstons. They have players like Caelum Doherty, like Liam Kerr. Like, they have a great team. I think Down are going to get out of Division 3 quite comfortably this year, to be honest. And I think a victory against Antrim is their way there. It was a very tight game between the two of them last year, though.
It was, actually, yeah. But I'm going to back Down to win this one. But Antrim has started off really, really well and should be proud of their efforts in general. We'll move on to the other game we'll talk in detail about. And it's Offaly against Clare in Tullamore at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Interesting game, this, considering Clare probably on another day should have beaten Westmead. Offaly have lost two on the bounce. But you have to feel Declan Kelly's team have to get off up and running in this one.
Yeah, it's a big game for both sides. Like, no question about it. It's a big team for big game for both teams. Clare, like, showed great defiance in the way that they just, refused to lie down, and they really battled to that victory against Sligo, and were unlucky to lose to Westmeath. Awfully, I was disappointed with them against Antrim. Like, for a team with such brilliant forwards to only score 1-6, I was a bit like, okay, I don't really know what's going on here. The conditions weren't great, yes, but I don't know. I fancy, sorry, apologies, names completely left my head. I fancy Clare to win this game. I think Mark Fitzgerald has, like, done a great job, all things considered, the players he's been missing. I think Emma McMahon and Aaron Griffin have really stepped up. Like, over the last, like, Aaron Griffin was, the key scorer against Sligo for that win. Emma McMahon has been really important to them as well. I think they'll do enough. I think Clare might get out there with a win.
Yeah, I actually think Clare will win this game as well. Considering I actually predicted Offaly to finish third at the start of the season, but I just feel Clare motoring along very, very nicely, and we're hard done by in the last game, and we want to rectify that. Moving on to the last two games in Division 3, just a word on these. Wicklow against Westmead on Sunday at 1 p.m. You have to expect Westmead to win this game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Westmead, exact same as Down, on a one-way ticket out of Division 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Westmeath to win that game as well. And Limerick against Sligo in Rakeel at 2 p.m. Discuss this a bit on the Limerick Voice podcast. That episode out tomorrow if you haven't checked that podcast out already. But I know it's Limerick and all that, but I don't expect Limerick to win this game. I think Sligo will win it. And that would mean Limerick three losses out of three.
Yeah, I think they're on different trajectories, to be honest. I think Limerick are slipping a bit. Sligo are on an upward curve. Great win in their last day out. Sean Carabine, the hero, kicking the winning points. against Wicklow. I think they'll win this game.
Yeah, definitely so. We'll move on to Division 4. This is a Leinster derby here. Leash against Carlow. Two sides have really started off like a house on fire. Leash especially have been absolutely outstanding. Carlow have been really, really good too. You'd expect Leash to win it, but Carlow to run up a test maybe.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this game. Two teams that have started off really, really well. Carlow, you know, starting off beating Tipperary and then, you know, doubling down on it, you know, with their second win of the campaign in round two. Like, you know, players like Mikey Bambrick, Jamie Clark, Jordan Morrissey, like, they've really started this league campaign like a house on fire with statement results. This is the toughest test that they've faced so far, though. Like, no question about it. Leash made light work out of Wexford in round two. And then beating Longford in round one, you know, the side that were relegated from Division 3, like Leash, you know, are making statement victories in those opening two games. This one, the fact that it's in Leash makes me think that Leash will win this one. I do think Leash will take it. But it's a very, very interesting tie between the two sides because Carlow have been building for a while under Neil Carew. And promotion has to be the objective for them, or else why would they be doing this? And if you want a result to really signal that intention, it's a good way to do it. But I do think Leash will win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Leash will win that game, but Carlow's put up a test indeed. Moving on to the next game in Division 4, and it is Leitrim against Wexford on Sunday at 2 p.m. Wexford lost heavily in the last game against Leash. Leitrim, two wins on the bounce, but albeit they were against Waterford and London. This is the big test for Andy Morningside, but I think Wexford might nick this one. I just think Leitrim's games have been a bit too easy thus far.
Yeah, no, that's it. Like Leitrim have started well, but they've not been tested at all. Waterford and London, like, it's not been the hardest beginning to their league campaign. As you said, this is as difficult as, you know, a test that they faced in 2024. And this was the place where their promotion push derailed last year. Wexford beat them. And once they lost that game to Wexford, they didn't manage to pull it back. You know, they had some good victories. The victory over Leash away from home was fantastic. But they didn't manage to pull it back. And then they went on to lose to New York. And they had a bad old year after that. I think if they win this, I would actually potentially tip them to go up, provided that they can beat Longford. Like, provided they can beat, like, maybe Dark Horses of Tipperary, if Tipperary get their act together. But, like, definitely this game will test Leitrim. I see a draw written all over this. I see Wexford pushing them, Leitrim fighting back, late equaliser and a draw.
Yeah. It is an even game in many ways, but I'm just going to go for Wexford in that one. Next game, Waterford against Longford in Fraher Field. Longford have lost the first two games, but they won't lose this one, surely.
Yeah, no, I think Longford will take this one. I think Waterford dancing with the devil a bit in terms of, like, having bad result after bad result. Like, they need a win big time. They need to put together a few wins.
Yeah. Definitely so. And the last game in Division 4 is London against Tipperary Ruislip on Sunday at 1 p.m. Tipper started well, and with Sean O'Connor hitting, scoring well in the Sigurdsson Cup, like, he seems to be a gem for Tipperary, and they beat Longford in the last game, so maybe Tip football isn't gone just yet.
Do you know what the truth is about this game? I think Tip will either annihilate London, or London will take them to the edge of their lives in this game. I don't think there'll be anything in between. I think Tip will either outclass London, or London will push them right to the pin of their collars. I would go for option number two there, and I think Tipperary will escape with a win. Like a 1-point win or a 2-point win where they get really lucky. Because, yeah, it's not going great for them. And even though they beat Longford, that was a great win. They don't tend to be the most consistent team in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go for Tipperary to win that game as well. But London, I think, will push them all the way. And before we leave, we'll just discuss briefly at this stage the Fitzgibbon Cup final between Mary Eye and UL. And this is the game here. Live at TG Carr on Saturday. The time, as of now, hasn't been announced. which is really, really poor coverage. I don't know what the story is there. But I was going to show scores and stats and all that, but we don't have much time on the podcast now. But Mary I have good scores. Shane Meehan from Clare is really, really good. Shane O'Brien from Limerick is hitting the lights out well. Devin Ryan from Tipperary is taking frees well. And also you have Adam Hogan, a cornerback for the primary school college. For you, well, Garrett O'Connor, enough said about him. Well, he's absolutely hitting the lights out at the moment. 113 for Tip last week against Galway. He scored 30 points in the Fitzgibbon Cup. So far, Mark Rogers, the captain of the team from Clare, is doing really well as well. You've Adam English and Colin Coughlin in the team. And worth noting as well, Seamus, this is a UL team chasing three in a row. Will they get it this weekend?
Yeah, I'd be confident that they will. I mean, they're a UL team that won the Fitzgibbon last year. Was one of the best Fitzgibbon teams I've seen. I remember being like, oh, and they have him. Oh, and they have him as well. Oh, and they have him as well. Like Brian O'Mara. Oh, and they have Michael Kiley. Oh, Mark Rogers as well. Oh, Garrett O'Connor. Okay, anyone else? Like, oh, Adam English. Oh, Delhi. Like, they had everyone. And that type of vibe is still around them this year. Garrett O'Connor is just a fantastic hurler. Like, he's just, you know, someone just had, you know, when someone just has it, they just have that it factor. Like, he, the minute he comes into the Tipperary team, you're like, yeah, this guy's got it. This guy's, you know, the man. He's one of going to be a top player for years to come. Adam English as well, like, is a real flair player. Like, if Adam English hits form, good luck to you. Like, because he's got the potential to absolutely tear you apart. I do fancy UL to win this one. I think they're too strong. Mark Rogers in the team as well is an absolute expert marksman. And Clare haven't really played him in too many games so far as kick off their league. So that means he's fresh and he's ready to go. And yeah, I see no way that UL don't win this game. As you said, Mary I've been really good. Players like Shane Meehan, Shane O'Brien. It's a perfect chance for them to, you know, stake their claim for more minutes in their inter-county teams by leading the underdogs to victory in this game. But I see no way that UL don't win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go for UL as well. Maybe that's me being biased as a UL man, but three in a row, I think it's on the way. UL are going to win this game, and worth noting as well that the only other teams to do three in a row were UCD and UCC. So they're going to an illustrious group, it seems, UL. So really looking forward to this game on Saturday as well. So that brings an end to the podcast. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks to Seamus for coming on. And thanks to Capture Athletics for sponsoring today's show. Check out their Gaelic gear if you have a chance. Thanks, Seamus, for today. And until the next episode, guys, we'll see you in the next one.